Mr. Book, and what a great time. I mean, I almost hate to leave this book because it's been such an incredible wealth of information. But we've got the 17 Secret, of course, that's the name of the book, 17 Secrets of Master Prospectors. But he also gave us a bonus secret at the end, which is kind of a summary, which I'll go over as well. But let's jump in and do our last secret in this Master Prospectors book. And I just honor all of you that have hung in there with me to go through the entire book. I think the ideas and principles are invaluable, and I've learned so much. And I'm actually going through the experience I'm going to suggest you go through right now to capture all the things that were most impactful for me. So I'm implementing. And I can tell you, I already started implementing a number of things, you know, and you can say, well, Mary Jo, you've been doing this for so many years. It doesn't matter. We always are growing. And I took a couple of things out of the book that I've already started implementing, and they become habits of mine now. And it's just, you know, that's what's important for us to do, is to change our habits and pick up from the masters, because truly that's the best way to learn, is to listen to the masters and then discern what you need to do in your walk so that you're going to create different results. The last chapter of this book, the last secret, is called Master Prospectors Know What They Want Inside Their Oranges. I know that's an intriguing title, but it's wonderful. He draws an analogy to oranges because he says, you know, when you squeeze an orange, what do you get out of it? And, of course, all of us can answer that question. That's pretty simple. You know, when you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice, right? And that's exactly what happens. But his analogy is really, it talks about what we do as network marketers. I mean, when I go out there and I meet somebody and I do a presentation for them, in fact, I might go to great lengths to give the best presentation I'm ever going to give, and I prepare for hours and just because I don't want to make a mistake, and I go out and I meet with somebody, and in the midst of the presentation, sometimes it doesn't even wait till the end, the person might blare out, "This is a scam, another pyramid scheme, I can't believe you're in this, so you better get out of it before you get hurt, are you sure you know what you're doing? You know, these things don't work. They're a lark. You know, this is what's destroying our economy." When people say those kind of things, how do you react? And that's a huge question you need to ask yourself. How do you react? I have people in my organization that'll call me and just almost break down in tears on the phone, or they'll go into an anxiety attacks around it. Or they'll call me and say, "You know, Mary Jo, maybe this really isn't for me." And I'm like, "What? You're going to allow somebody else to control your life? Is that what you're telling me?" We all react differently, but we have these crazy reactions to people who want to stay, you know, in the dark, people who choose not to change, they choose not to be different, they choose not to recognize that network marketing is being taught in zillions of business schools today, they choose not, you know, to believe in past, they live in their past, not in their future, they don't believe in creative change, they don't believe in touching people's lives and making a difference. I mean, why are you going to let these kind of people change you or control your emotional state? You see, what's happening when you get somebody who says negative things or negative things about them, you know, and some of us go, "Oh, have you read The New Professional?" Or you try to change their mind. And that's good. I mean, I try to do, when somebody tells me, "Is this a pyramid scheme?" I have my own response to that. I go, "What do you mean by pyramid scheme?" You know, and then they can say what they want. And I have many responses. I have a couple that I play with today. One, you guys have heard my classic responses to those, I'm sure, in the calls, but, you know, my favorite is just to say, you know, if they say network marketing, I just go, "Absolutely, and if it weren't, I wouldn't be involved in it, and here are my reasons." I don't stop there. I tell them why. I tell them, number one, network marketing is the most efficient mechanism of distribution on the face of the earth today. Why? Because we don't spend a dime, you know, lining the pockets of, you know, CBS executives and lining the pockets of radio stations to put advertising out there. 100% of the marketing gets paid to people like you and me, and not one dime is paid out until a product is sold. And that's what makes it totally efficient. And secondly, it's total alignment with my Christian values. I worked 20 years in corporate America and legal America, and all I did was climb the ladder to be better, 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 and climb ahead. Get ahead, get ahead, get ahead. It was all about me. Today, for the first time in my life, my whole life is about other people, and all I need to do is pour into them. Because the more I pour into people in networking, the more benefit. Always focus on others, and it is totally consistent with my Christian value. So that's why I tell people. But the other thing I like to say, too, is sometimes when I say network marketing, I say, well, what is it you don't like about network marketing? And a person, you know, they might say, well, I don't like selling. I feel like I'm selling all the time. I don't like to sell. And I go, well, you know, that's pretty interesting because I've been involved in it now for over 10 years, and I don't feel it is selling at all. My entire experience around networking, and perhaps it's because of the awesome product and benefits that these products bring, but I feel that my entire experience has been about sharing solutions with people, not selling. And what a wonderful thing to be participating in is sharing solutions with other people, because people are looking today, and I love being able to step up and give them ideas on how they can have a better tomorrow. Okay? So you can answer that. See how much fun? I mean, you just have fun with responses, you know, but I don't get when people get negative, and even if they don't like my response, you know, at least I give them an opportunity. I don't argue with them why they're wrong. I just try to give them a paradigm shift. I give them information that may help them shift their paradigm, because really their attitude towards network marketing, whatever, or their negativity is all on what? It's their current belief system. That doesn't mean it's ingrained in stone, that it can't be changed, that they can't see it differently. So my role in their life, I believe, is that I'm here to see if they're willing to, you know, open their eyes to a possibility that maybe their belief system isn't accurate. You know, maybe they got stuck on an experience and they need to open their eyes to something better. And so I give them an opportunity to do that. And if they don't want to do it, and if they shut down and they're not interested and they blow me off, then, you know, that's okay. They're stuck. People want to stay stuck. You can't unstick everybody, but you can make an effort, and if it doesn't, it's just, you go, you move on. Angry, defensive, personal rejection, doubt, fear, discouragement. None of those things ever enter my mind. Ever. It's not about that. Because I don't let them control my emotional state. I'm so strong, entrenched in, for me, the way the Lord's guided me to be a part of this process, that you can't, it's unwavering. I don't waffle from it. I don't let people allow me to waffle, because I know that I know what we have is terrific. I know that it can make a huge difference in people's lives. And I know that bringing financial security and or health security in people's lives are critical issues for the future of this world, not just this country, but this world. So it's a huge mission. It's a huge cause, and I'm going to continue being a part of that cause. So look at yourself and say, how am I responding to these things? You know, and when they get negative, how am I responding? Or more appropriately, even today, I get people that say, oh, Mary Jo, I just gave a presentation to somebody, and they went to research, and, you know, I could never get back to them. They refuse to return my calls. They won't answer my calls anymore, and I know they just read something about the Texas AG on the Internet. And I go, how do you know that? You make it up because you want to believe that's why they don't call you back or they won't take your call. I said, you don't know what's caused them not to take your call. You have no idea. But why do you always go negative? What is this always going negative? I want you to stay high as a kite and be positive about what's going on. It could be that they saw something negative, but so what? They're going to make a decision based on something they saw versus all the stuff that's going on and could explain it for them. You tell me, which preference do you have? Do I want to believe something on the Internet, or would I like to believe a human being who I've gotten to know and trust in a relationship? And there's your difference. So build that trusting relationship with people, love on them, you know, and it's just incredible results. I'll just share, you know, I gave a presentation on Saturday afternoon to a group of ladies, and when everybody left, the host came over to me, and she just shared with me the incredible commentary she got back from some of the people leaving, one in particular about how she felt. She's doing Amway right now, the woman that was there, and she just felt so moved by Mary Jo. I mean, she says, this woman has such integrity, and I just feel like I want to go to her for answers. Even in my own, she's willing to help me even in Amway. because she has such a heart of love for people. She says she has such, you know, and all she did was rant. And I go, I can do that in 1 hour. I think you can do that in 10 minutes with somebody. But it's how do you build trust with people? You show them love. You show compassion. You show a willingness and desire to help them have a better tomorrow. And it's not about you. It's focusing on them. And you watch what happens in your life. What a different attention and energy on what you can control and have the wisdom to release what you cannot. You cannot control everybody's response to you, but you can control your response to them. So when you get squeezed, which happens to every one of us, we get squeezed every day. And I'm going to suggest if you're not getting squeezed every day by negativity or negative thoughts or negative actions or negative words or whatever, if you're not getting squeezed by bad feedback or, you know, then you're not doing what you should be doing, because we belong out there impacting lives. We belong in an environment where we're touching and sharing with people and finding out what their lives are like and seeing how we can step up and help make a difference in their lives. If you're actually going out there and touching people, you're going to get squeezed. Every day you're going to get squeezed. And if you want peace and you want abundant thinking and you want harmony and you want love and compassion in your life, then when anyone squeezes you, that's what you're supposed to exert and exhibit outwardly. Somebody squeezes you, if you want more peace in your life, then you show peace. If you want a more abundant thinking, then you have abundant thinking. You want more harmony and love and compassion, then you show more harmony, love, and compassion. Those are the positive qualities you want to flow out no matter what happens to you. So every time we use words or actions to define someone else, all we're really doing is defining ourselves. So think about that. That's a great quote that came out of that chapter. Every time we use words or actions to define someone else, all we're really doing is defining ourselves. You know, if that's a great quote to put up on your computer, that's a great quote to put on your wall. So, and this is what will keep you out of gossip. You know, I've never been able to gossip. I don't know what I just can't gossip. I don't even like to hear stories. People love to tell me, oh, this is going on in Manitoba. And I go, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear stuff. You know, it's not, I don't waste my breath on that stuff or
can
my mind.
Can you just
mind
say that line again, Mary Jo?
Are you ready? It's great. It's in your outline. It's under 2A, and it says, every time we use words or actions to define someone else, all we're really doing is defining ourselves. So we go, you know, that person is really evil out there. Blah, blah, blah. What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? So if instead you just say, you know what, I'm going to pray for that person because they need a lot of love. And there's the love. There's the love. That defines you. That's who you are. That's at the core of who you are. I mean, I can see people behave badly. I have crazy people all over the place, you know, but you know what? I just love them. Because that's why God put me on earth. I'm not supposed to have hatred or judgment or any. I'm not supposed to spew any of that because I don't want to be that person. I want to be a person of compassion and love and peace and, you know, harmony, and that's what I want. So keep those things in mind. I think it's a great statement. It really is. You know, don't define yourself by the way you language about other people. Don't do that. And you don't see it, but that's exactly what's going on. And so the suggestion is pause and think before you squirt. In other words, when you get squeezed as an orange, and all of us don't perceive ourselves as oranges, but you can look at this metaphor. Before you squirt, you want to pause and you want to think, because impulsive behavior never affords the luxury of thought and choice. Impulsive behavior is always about just throwing whatever comes out to your head. And it's not that sometimes negative things don't come into our heads when people respond, but it's about think first. I used to use this phraseology when I was younger. I used to say, think before you stink. It was just a phrase I used. It kind of made sense to me. Think before you stink. It had a little ring to it, you know, and that's really what happens. You know, people can say things to us, and we just stink up the place by our response because we got to be right, or we got to, you know, show how much we know, and we can see this in people. But it never serves you. Because it's impulsive behavior, and typically it's going to be behavior you pay a huge price for, because it's going to detract from any having a relationship with that person. It's going to rob that relationship. So don't rob a relationship. I always want to support relationships. I want my relationship with everybody to be the best it possibly can. So my concept is to step into it and say, okay, how can I treat this better? And I'm not telling you guys by any means that I'm perfect or anyone's perfect out there with that. It's just something we acknowledge and we keep recognizing over and over again. When we find ourselves in that negative trap, how do I bounce out of it? You bounce out of it by thinking, because you want a life of positive environment abundance. So you want to make sure that that's what you're, you know, those are the kind of values that come out of you. And where does all this come from? Where do our responses come from? Why does our behavior tend to generate? You can look at how you said, I will even talk to you about, you know, in the last week, look at how you reacted to a spouse, perhaps, or a significant other one in your life, you know, and you can say, wow, you know, I just spewed venom out there. And I go, wow, that's who you are. When we spew like that, that's a statement of ourselves. And it comes from what? It comes from something inside of us. It's internal programs, habits that we've developed, and typically since we were children. Because most of the habits, if you look back, most of our beliefs, they were developed between the ages of 4 and 8 years old. Even with master prospectors, same thing. We all grew up and had this, you know, different environments, but that's where our belief systems and our programs arose. I love it. I was reading some information the other day about a family raising some kids, and they said, you know, my kids are so precocious and they love to express their opinions, because from day one, whatever opinions they expressed, we always honored them. No matter how silly or crazy they might have been, we always honored our children. We never would look at them and say, you know how silly or stupid that is. Oh, come on, you know, that's crazy. We would never, ever do that to our child. And you know how kind of stuff that comes out of children's mouths. They always honored their child for feeling a freedom of expression of what they've thought. And, you know, it's what a wonderful thing to have and to just build that in people, that people can freely think and freely develop. But you know, if you're between 4 and 8 and you got quashed and we're told you're crazy, imagine what happens in your belief system. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I'll never be smart enough. I'll never be able to do what I want to do. I have limitations. I've built a box around myself because of all the limitations. And that's why we refer to them as limiting beliefs that happen to us as we grow up. So we want to understand that change. We all can change. We all have choices we can make. Just because you tend to respond that way doesn't mean you can't be different. I tell people to have different triggering points. Like when you hear yourself say something, press your thumb into the center of your palm of your other hand and press really hard so there's a little pain excreted, and then go, whoa, that I shouldn't have said. So that you remind yourself, you can hear it and kind of remind yourself superficially and just go on, but I want you to hear it, and then I want you to stop and analyze, how could I have done that differently and created a different result? And quit having to have to be right all the time. This world isn't about self-promotion. In fact, I'm going to suggest it's the opposite, self-sacrifice. About how do I support other people? And I don't support other people by condemnation or judgment or being evil or spewing venom, all that stuff. I don't do it. I don't help. And, you know, Klemmer, some of you guys have been through Brian Klemmer's work, and you know I'm kind of a Brian Klemmer, you know, guru, and kind of I think he's got a tremendous program that he runs to help people see life differently. And one of the main reasons I feel that way is because of the impact it had on me, but so many others around me. But he makes the comment that 99% of our decisions we don't even make. And that's fascinating to me. And I feel it's so accurate. I mean, when I first learned it, I brushed it off because I couldn't fathom it could possibly be true, until I started seeing my behavioral patterns and how many times I don't make choices. I'm on automatic pilot. And we are. We get on automatic pilot about our decisions that we make. So we really aren't making decisions. We're just automatically responding. Kind of like my husband, when I say, honey, how'd you like to do this? He goes, no, because that's how he's programmed. It's his way of, he doesn't mean no. What it means for my husband is he needs time to think about something. He doesn't think as fast as his wife thinks. So he didn't develop this with me. He developed it for his life. I mean, we didn't get married till he was, in his 40s. And, he already had this habit down, but it was his defensive mechanism to give him time to think it through. He's so funny, sometimes he'll say no, and then a week later he'll come back and he'll go, well, honey, remember when we talked about this? I think this is a good idea. And I'll go, what? I will have already gone in 7 different directions, you know. But it's just, that's the way he protects himself to be able to really, because he's an analyst type. He likes to analyze things. He likes all the data. He doesn't want to make a mistake, and he wants to collect all his data. and his poor little wife out there, who is the promoter, who she feels whatever dad I have, I make a decision because I like to go on and move forward. I don't mind making a few mistakes in my life. That doesn't bother me. More important to me is acting. I don't like to stay stagnant, so I like to be in action. So we're very different. But again, 99% of our decisions we don't even make. Our programs make them. We're programmed to do. So we need to start looking at how can I be different? How can I reprogram some of that stuff? How can I make better choices, right? And master prospectors believe that they are master prospectors. They believe exactly that, that they are master prospectors. They squeeze a master prospector, and what comes out of a master prospector? And I outline that on under four in your outline. And these are the five things that right off the top of your head that should come to you. A master prospector, what? They listen. Then they ask questions to help the other person work through their fears and beliefs. See how cool that is? They don't get defensive. They ask questions. They don't volcano. They don't spew a ton of garbage on people. They don't spew over and over and say, you know, agree with me or because you're so, I can't believe you're so ridiculous. I can't believe you believe that. I can't, you know, they don't ever do that. They always just say, wow, what caused you to come to that belief? And then they try to work a person through what that is. What is their fear? And all of us can do this. It's just about asking questions. Some of you feel like you can't do it because you have never tried to do it. But it doesn't happen overnight. It's something you start working on asking questions of people. Instead of making everybody wrong and you right, maybe there isn't such a black and white in this world. Maybe it's about really listening to people and then talking to them and asking questions. Where they got to those fears, and then focusing on what caused you to believe the way you did and maybe opening their eyes to see that, just like what my response is to network marketing, classic. What did I learn about it that caused me to change my mind? And that's why sometimes I love it. You know, they talk about responding to objections. They talk about saying, you know, I know exactly how you feel because I felt that same way. But do you know what I found? And that's called the feel, felt, found routine. But it's a great thing because you get empathy. I know exactly how you feel. So you can show that people that their opinion has some validity because, you know what, you were there. I felt the same way. You were there at one time too. You really have the same understanding. But now you get to share with them how you became enlightened. And you don't say that because you don't want to make the other person feel that they're unenlightened, right? So you'd say, but you know what I found? I found after I did this, this, and this, that this is what happens. And it's amazing to me the results that these products have had. I know you think that they're too expensive, and you know I felt that same way too. But do you know what I found? I found that after I got my family started on these supplements, we had no copays for 2 years running. I wasn't running over to the school to pick up my kid from work and losing days at work. Blessing beyond what my wildest imagination. So cost? I'm going to really say that there's a cost there when the value I have is so overwhelming. So you see, those are the kind of things. So we listen, and then we ask questions to help a person work through their fears. Number two, we focus on getting rid of the emotional charge or upset that may be experiencing before we squirt. So we don't allow ourselves to squirt. It's not about, you know, spewing out anything negative because we're always about getting rid of the emotional charge. Our emotion, if there's any emotion, it's emotion of love, it's emotion of tenderness, it's emotion of passion. It's just who we are. We're confident, we stay in our realm, and we become, what do we call, unshakable. And does that mean that sometimes people worry us or threaten us a little bit? No, that can happen in our lives, but, you know, it never is seen on the outside. We are forever confident and fearless and just out there showing our strength. Number three, we're secure in our success. And it doesn't matter what our success is, because some of you look at people that are successful in Mantic and you go, my gosh, they just made it over. Are you kidding? I told you guys my story about the first 6 months I signed up one person. Was I confident in my success? You know what? I wasn't confident in the results I was creating, but I was totally confident that this was going to work. The problem was I wasn't doing it right. So that's what caused me to get humble and go and learn and read books like by John K. Lynch and understand the master's prospector's secrets and understand how to be the best you can be in MLM. That's what I needed to do, and that's what I went out and did. Because I was so much into thinking I could just go do this. It seems so easy. And how many of you have done that? How many of us have just said, oh, it's easy, I'll just do it over and over again and I'll soon figure it out? Well, I don't think that happens. I think what happens is we learn from experts and we listen and we read and we surround ourselves with the experts and we read more about what we need to do and how we need to change and choices we need to make, and then we make the right choices and we do it over and over again, and guess what? We create incredible results. But we're secure that success is there. So it doesn't, you don't have to be successful to be secure in your success. Does that make sense to everybody? It's about being secure in the idea that you will be successful in what you're doing, wherever you are today. They are not filled with fear and doubt. And that just comes for me and many of you out of your biblical foundation. It's not about fear. The only fear that's valid scripturally is fear of the Lord, and that's a fear of that comes from an awe, not being afraid, but being in awe. We are to have no fear. And doubts. We doubt. I talked to somebody the other day that was talking to me about Sam Castor, and and I said, wow, what a great, I just was intrigued in listening and hearing you out. And I said, are you open to hear some other information that might help you sort through some of this? You get it? Are you open to hearing other information that might help you sort through some of this? Now, I give them an option. Maybe they don't want to hear, but if they do, you know, that's great. Then I get an opportunity. Sometimes I like to put it this way, too. I say, you know, I really honor you and respect you. I just want to make sure you feel like you're making a totally informed decision. Would you like some more information that might help you get there? Wow, that's a powerful statement to make. But you want to give me, you know, so we don't allow doubt to rob us of what we're, our path that we're on. And even if you had doubt in Sam Castor, do you have doubt in the mission? And that's something you have to weigh on your own heart, too. This mission isn't, it's never going to be about a man. I mean, when we put, you know, when we put all the faith and confidence in one man, we become, you know, we've idolized somebody inappropriately. And I'll go back to my Christian belief and tell you I think it's sinful nature that causes us to do those kind of things. We can honor somebody and think he's a great guy, but we, you know, when we hang all of our, you know, hope and future on one person, what have we done? Yeah, I won't. It's not scripturally founded, that's for sure. And then the last thing about Master Prospers: by chance, if any fear or doubt enters in, they recognize what they see. They recognize it for what it is—an untruth—and they release it. So we just take untruths and we release them by rephrasing them. I can take any negative and make it into a positive, and that's a joy, because every negative has an opposite side. Every coin has an opposite side. Every palm has an opposite side of the hand. So you just shift and make that shift. So how do we change? You know, how do you change? How do you shift when you see these things in you? How do you make the shifts to make sure orange juice comes out of your orange? Glorious, fresh, wonderful, nutritious orange juice when you squeeze the orange. You can go to self-development seminars. You can, you know, self-help things like that to help you go forward. Of course, I suggest all direction you want, but so many of those things help us learn how to control our behavior better, how to stand up and be able to make better choices in the words we use and the actions we take and the way we respond to people. And, of course, I really totally believe in the Clemmer work, but there's other good work out there as well. You can make a laundry list. Here's a suggestion of the book. Make a laundry list of the attributes of a master prospector. And I attached to the outline today an article, How to Become Effective at Prospecting, by Todd Falcone. It's an article I've used in the past, in fact, years ago, and I still think it's a powerful article, so I sent it out to everybody so you could read it. But it really goes through characteristics of an effective prospector. And, it, you know, each paragraph has another characteristic into it, and you can just kind of look at what it is and you can build what is a master prospector, what are the classic attributes of a master prospector, and use your past trainings to do this and develop it as well. And then from that list, then draft yourself. Draft an image of this person to look just like you. Draft a picture of that image. Here I am. This is who I am. This is how I respond. This is what I do. And make it personal and write it out. You can even add your name to it. And then start reading that every day 20 times. It's you as a master prospector. And that helps instill in your belief system who you are. It's kind of what we call positive affirmation. It's feeding your number two, as I call it, feeding your heart the right information. Because your number two only can say, okay, that's all it does. So when you feed it and feed it and feed it, it goes, okay, okay. But if all day long you're feeding it, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, this is too hard, I can't get over it, I don't know what the materials to share, I'm never going to be good at this, some of your language you're using, think of what your number two is doing all day long. Okay, 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 okay. All it's doing is agreeing to all the garbage you're putting inside. So fill yourself with greatness. And that's what positive affirmations do. They affirm greatness of who you are, and each one of you has greatness. It's just you're letting other things, you're letting blankets of history or past or ineffectiveness taint your opinion, and you need to get rid of that and move on. So what you're doing is you're creating a habit, just like all the other ones you've done, but you're creating a habit of abundance by doing positive affirmations. And recognize that your mind is quantitative, not qualitative. What does that mean? It means by more repetition of good stuff, you're going to create greatness within. So it's quantitative. So thousands of bits of data get put into your mind every single day. And to overcome the hundreds of bits of bad data, you need thousands of bits of good data. So start feeding more and more good data. All right, so what you're doing is really replacing disempowering habits with empowering habits. And it's just a matter of you taking action steps to do that. And I outlined a couple of the action steps he gave at the end of the chapter. When someone or something squeezes me, what do I want to come outside? In other words, you draft for yourself. How do you want to come? When you get squeezed, when you're under tension and pressure from somebody and somebody says negative things about you or your family or this or that or whatever, how do you respond? What comes out when you squeeze, when you're squeezed? And then get really clear on if you get squeezed, what two things must you discipline yourself to do before you act impulsively? Think about that. What two things? I won't answer that question. You can figure that one out. But what two things do you need to do to discipline yourself to do before you act impulsively? Okay, let me just review quickly. I'll just go over before we get on the final stage of this. I'll just, the last chapter, of course, 17 was the last secret, but he also put a bonus secret at the end of the book that I didn't really write up. I just was going to review it with you. The bonus secret at the end of the book is master prospectors love to play the game. And he's talking about what the game of life. He just talks about how they love to play the game. And we really look at it. He talked about Randy Ward, who's a game of all, network marketing. And in the, and I don't actually have that book. When I read about it, reviewing this chapter, I thought, wow, that might be a good book to get. So I'm going to look that one up. Winning the Greatest Game of All, Network Marketing by Randy Ward. And in it, he talks about us looking at our business as an accelerated game of life. And as with any game, we all have a choice. We can play or we can watch. And I remember seeing this in one of my self-development seminars. We talked about the game of baseball. And he asked the question was this, the facilitator. In a game of baseball, if you looked at your business and what you're doing in network marketing, what are you doing in Manatech today? And if you looked at it as a game of baseball, and for a lot of you on the phone call, you may not be able to relate because you might not know much about baseball, but prayerfully you will. Are you in the batter's box with your business? Are you in the dugout? Are you in the stands? Are you up to bat? Are you running around the bases? What are you doing? What is your role as you relate to it? Because in the game of network marketing, it's like any other game. There are spectators in the stands. There are players that go out and play and work hard every day. There's winners, there are losers, there are run-of-the-mill performers. There's people that are contemplating whether or not they should be up. There are people that are analyzing and going in circles in the batter's box, waiting and waiting and waiting, but never quite getting to the plate. So what is it that you're waiting and waiting and waiting? What role do you play, and what role are you choosing to play? So again, master prospectors do what? They play the game full out. Number two, the second point he makes is outrageous income. We talk about monster salaries. We complain about athletes making monster salaries. Why is it that master athletes earn outrageous incomes? It's because they believe they're worth it. And obviously someone else does too, because that's the guy who's paying them. So if someday you'd like to earn an outrageous income like the master prospectors in network marketing, then keep doing everything you can to build your image of self-worth. You've got to believe that you're worth it. And why is that true? Because the marketplace will pay you anything you truly believe you're worth. It's kind of like that formula, intent plus mechanism equals result. Whatever you intend is going to be your result you create. So if today you're making $1,000 a year in Manatech, that's your intent. It's part of your belief system. There's something in your belief system that's telling you that's what you're worth. And in order to get beyond that, you got to shatter that belief. What is that limiting belief that's holding you back? Because the marketplace will truly pay you anything you believe you're worth. There is no scarcity of abundance out there. There's just a scarcity of abundant thinking and teaching. So build abundance in your mind and value in your work and create different results. So that's your second point. Third point is master prospectors have incredibly hard work ethics, right? If you ever look at somebody who just works and works and works and works and works, and you'd look at these master prospectors, they're consistently consistent. They just constantly work at it. They're just working hard. They're going to do it over and over, practice, 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 practice. And that's what they do. A fourth concept he outlines is that lots of people assume that the key to success in network marketing is to sponsor heavy hitters, like finding jets out there. That is not necessarily the case. Most so-called heavy hitters had to emerge from the rank and file players. So it's more important that you find people in the rank and file, because if all you're doing is waiting for the heavy hitter, you're going to be hard stretched. But those rank and file people can come out, and you know you want to find those rank and file, and you want to sponsor and treat them, everyone, as if they're already heavy hitters, and watch how they develop into one. A fifth principle is day in and day out, master prospectors do the basics. They know that those solid, simple efforts done with consistency are the ones that pay off the biggest and the best in the long run. So they just keep at it and at it and at those steps they've mastered and do them over and over and over again. Because they do the basics every day and they're rewarded by the awesome power of duplication. The Master Prospector's Game is the greatest game of all in network marketing. Once you know the secrets, and of course, what do we all know? We've gone through 9 weeks of reading 17 Secrets of Master Prospectors. So you all have at least 17 secrets down pat of Master Prospectors. Now it's simply a question of practice until you master them. So you go after them and after them and after them. And then a final quote at the end of the chapter, I'll read it to you. It comes from Robert Deropp, D-E-R-O-P-P, called The Master Game. And I won't read though. He goes on for 2 pages. I'll just talk about the last paragraph. He talks about, he goes, here it is sufficient to say that the master game can never be made easy to play. It demands all that a man has, all his feelings, all his thought, his entire resources, physical and spiritual. If he tries to play it in a half-hearted way or tries to get results by unlawful means, he runs the risk of destroying his own potential. For this reason, it is better not to embark on the game at all than to do it half-heartedly. So he talks about if you really want to make this work, if your goal is to make this work, then don't just do it half-heartedly. And that doesn't mean for those of you on the call that you can't do this part-time. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, what are you doing in your part-time behavior? What are you doing in the hours you're dedicating to Manatech? Are you putting your entire self into it? Or are you half-heartedly? Are you shuffling papers? Are you going in circles? Because many people do that. They shuffle papers. They move forward and they shuffle papers. You see that. That's not going to get you the results you need. What's going to get you the results you need is to go out and talk to lots of people and do follow the master secrets and apply them in your life on a day-in and day-out basis. So that's it. That's the great book, 17 Secrets of Master Prospectors. Now, you know, we can look back and say, what do we do, Mary Jo? What do we do now that we're done with this book? I'm just going to tell you, take some time today or tomorrow, for those of you who have been through it. If you haven't been on all the calls, go back and maybe pick up on some of the calls that you didn't get on, and because they're all taped on Manitrain, as you know. And then sit down and review the work that you've done through all the action steps. Every single one of these outlines had action steps for you to follow. And if you've done them, you've grown. If you haven't done them, you've procrastinated. You can choose to be green and growing or ripe and rotting. It's, again, just a choice you make. But if you choose to take those action steps, you're going to grow. I guarantee you, you got to move when you do those kind of things because you're pointing out to yourself. So go back through and review the work through all your action steps. If you haven't done them yet, go do them. Get through those action steps. List all the most important items for you and your business. What are the things that really stuck out? Some of these you may be doing every day of your life already. Other ones you haven't even contemplated doing. Other ones you think you're doing, but when you really read it and take your action steps, you're going to see that your life really doesn't portray that. So pick the things that are most important because you can't choose 20 things to tackle in one day. You got to pick on things one at a time, prioritize them, and then start that strategy. How am I going to implement these in my life every day? Do not do anything else until you go through that exercise, and it will serve you in a huge way. Invaluable information for all of you to grow and do better and be more effective in networking by just going over those action steps. So I conclude with yes, you can, yes, you will, just do it. Let's let go of our past and run with the wind, because that wind is clearly at your back to carry you forward. Okay, guys, that's the end of the book. Any questions? Any issues?
I just want to say thank you, Mary Jo, because this was really great.
And Susan, a lot of it wasn't all brand new, was it? It's just rehashing it. Yeah. Yep.
But
absolutely.
This was good today. I thought the information today was really very helpful.
Great. Good,
this
good.
This is Ellen up in upstate New York, and I just wanted to say thank you again for the contact for the room. It worked.
Wonderful.
Yes, ma'am.
Yoo-hoo.
And I'm in the office, and I had phone calls right at the beginning. Can you please give me a brief rundown in the opening comments on Chicago Manifest and article, news on local radio?
Well, the Chicago Manifest was just getting everybody to go. All I did was highlight once again how critically important it is to be there. You know, whatever way, just like you were a perfect example, didn't have a room, didn't know what to do, just do network. I mean, people, we're master networkers, and we have all of ourselves, all of these wonderful people to tap into to find solutions. So why are we networking with ourselves, right? So you are a perfect example, and hallelujah, you solved the problem through our
I'll see
and
you
that's
there.
A great success. Absolutely.
But I need to one question on that. What's the difference? Is there much difference in seating between the reserve seating and the regular seating?
I do. In Chicago and the ManaQuest, I rarely, if ever, buy the reserve seating. At ManaFest, the national, I always get reserve seating because
okay.
It's such a bigger event. At this event, you have maybe 1,000, 1,400 people. It's not going to be a big deal. At ManaFest, you get 8,000 people. That's a huge difference, okay?
Yeah.
So my
okay.
suggestion is that reserve seating isn't that important, but that's just my opinion on it. And
okay.
the article in the Florida paper was just about direct sales during recession, and we're going to do a whole talk. Next Monday's dedicated exclusively to tools, mechanisms, how do I take this whole recessionary thing, how do I transition somebody in depression because they lost their job or about to live, how do I get them to look at this as an opportunity? How do I do that? We're going to talk about tools and mechanisms and all that in terms of using this recession to the best of our ability to grow our Manatech business. Okay?
Okay. Sounds good.
Great.
Mary, just update on your calls to your, you know, reigniting your downline.
Reactivation calls? Terrific.
Yeah.
I'm loving them every day. I had the other day, I had a woman on the phone for an hour. I couldn't get her off the phone. I mean, so every day it's a different experience, you know, and I don't intend to do that because I think these calls don't need. But we had the most incredible relationship built by that. I mean, it was incredible. She is now getting back on the product. She's going to be taking omega-3. She's going to consult with me on other things because she just says, you know, I don't have anyone in my life who I, everybody I talk to is always selling something. She says, you don't sound like you're selling anything. And I said, I'm not. I said, I just really support you in health. And if that, you know, here's the omega-3s I'll recommend, but I don't make any money off them. Here's this, I don't make, you know. And we just talked about, it was just a blessing. But she's going to get, you know, I said, you know, I will recommend Amritos because I think it's the best glyconutrient in the marketplace and the only one that's valid legally, okay. And so I talked about different things, but it was wonderful. But I'm having a lot of joy. I also am finding that, it, which is, you know, can be discouraging, but I'm finding people who had contacted people in my organization. They said, Mary Jo, what happened to so-and-so? And I won't use names because I don't want to, you know, but they'll say, what happened to so-and-so? And I go, I don't, well, she's no longer doing the, you know, she's no longer involved with me. And she goes, well, I know, but you know what? I called her 3 times. I wanted to order more Amritos, and she never returned my phone call. And then I called the chiropractic office, and I think they discontinued their number. And so my son just went on the internet, and he found this other product that cost less. So I've been buying from them for the last 6 months. And I'm like, what happened? See how we lose people? You know, that's the importance of being out there and being a part. But you know what I told her? I told her I would analyze that other product, and I'm sending her a letter out. This is one I had on Friday. I'm sending her a letter today telling her about what differences I could see and then outlining to her the patent infringement and all the things and why patent law exists to protect people who put millions of dollars into research like Manitech. But I said, I'm not trying to make you wrong. I'm just telling you why I still am of the opinion you ought to buy Amritos. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be her new contact. If she jumps on board, I'll be more than happy to talk to her and send her newsletters every month. So, see the difference? She stopped getting her mana mail, too, because this person in my organization quit doing Manitech, and so no one's getting mana mails in that group. And if you have that happen, somebody's got to step in and pick up that follow-up and contact. Otherwise, you run the risk of losing orders learned. So some good, some bad, but most of it's like dynamite. I mean, I'm having more fun just talking to people and finding out, you know, what's going on in their lives and how I can support them. And that's how I approach it. So, yeah. Thanks.
Mary Jo, can I make a couple comments and ask one quick question?
Sure.
First of all, for those of us that are cross-lined from you, can we also send out a newsletter each month and call it Mana Mail, or would you prefer, because I know that up with all these great, you know, Mana Train. And
no, you can call it whatever you want. You're
okay,
free to use
you.
It. Absolutely.
And I wanted to thank you for your consistency and your encouragement that you've given over the years. Just about a month ago, I was listening to a gentleman speak, and it was a health lecture, and something came up about gossip, and the definition he used is, if you are sharing something with a person that is not part of the problem and they are not part of the solution, that is gossip.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow. Because then it's not just always thinking, oh, well, it's sharing something negative about a person. It could be truthful, but
right.
If they're
you
not...
still don't share it because if they're not part of the solution.
And they're
you,
part of the problem.
They don't need to be in there. And
exactly.
It's incredible. Very good. I've heard that myself before, and I totally agree with it. It's, and we tend to do that. And you know what's even worse? Let me tell you what's even worse. And this is a kind of a little charge on our Christian world. That
yeah.
We love to do it under the auspices. Oh, I, you know what? You need to pray for Barbara because you know what? She's sleeping around with this guy. And we do.
Shame on us.
We're horrible like that. You know, you just say silent prayer. Yes, you need to pray for Barbara, but you know what? That person's not a part of the solution. You just tell them, I want you to give a silent prayer for Barbara. You know, it happens in the Christian. Oh, my gosh. I just go, oh, you guys, give me a break. Ugh, it nauseates me. So, yep. So true.
Mary Jo, is there any way we can get a copy of that letter that you wrote about the rebuttal? Because that kind of comes up for all of us.
Which
about
rebuttal?
Amritos
versus
the other product that they're buying on the internet.
Oh, you want a copy of my letter that I'm sending out to this woman today?
something
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Basic information.
Sure.
Yeah, cause it's kind
sure.
of come
in fact, I'll do one step. I think I sent out to all you guys, you know, one of my people in my downline about, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, they sent me and they were really upset about this Nutritoast product or something.
Yeah.
I think it was Nutritoast.
Yeah.
And I said, well, yeah, I have no problem. So I drafted a legal letter that I sent out, and it was on my legal stationery that just said, I'm understanding that you're involved in this company, da, 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 da. And I did a review of what the law is, what Manatech has. Manatech's been successful, and I expect them to be totally successful against this company. So if the person chooses to participate in illegal activity, you get it?
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, they just sent it out to some other people that you know, because I'm a lawyer and I can write that, right? And so they just sent it out to some other people who are buying these alternative products, understanding that technically they're participating in the illegal behavior. It's not honoring to buy products that you know of companies that are breaking the law, right?
Yeah.
So I will send you that letter as well. So I'll do both. But of course, today, that was 2 years ago, and I just said that Manatech, you know, that because they've been successful in the past, I my expectations are really totally successful in this litigation as well, where we just won another, you know, the recent
right.
suit shows you how successful we are at winning the patent litigation.
Now, you were talking about your responses to the question, is this network marketing?
Uh-huh.
If you
like
that,
you like
writing.
Those, huh? I have
yeah,
been
that
writing.
Was-
Yeah, I know. Those are classic, and they're all heartfelt. I mean, it's just all from my heart, but I'll be more than happy to send those out. I'll have to draft up. The last one was the most recent one I came up with it when I was doing a training about 5 months ago, and I just think it's so powerful when people say, because I think the word selling, people get into sell, you know, they think about selling, and I know that some people go, well, don't hide it. It is selling, and I go, you know what, I'm not, I have never felt that I was selling. I mean, maybe early stages I might have felt that way, but I mean, today as I go out and in, over the last few years, I really feel that all I have in my heart of hearts is solutions for people. And when I share, I call it SS, sharing solutions. And every time I talk to people, I really feel I'm just sharing a solution for you. It's just like sharing salvation. I share that solution for your life, but I'm not selling it. You know, I don't sell Ambertoast. I'm sharing a solution for your life, but I'm not selling it. If you would like to purchase it, you buy it from Manatech. That's where you buy it from. I don't sell any products. I just share solutions. You choose for yourself what that's going to look like. So I will draft that one up and add it to the other ones and send that out as well. Good. Thank
those
you.
Those are great.
Yep, we'll do. Absolutely love you guys. I got to run now.
Bye.
Anyway, you guys have a great week, and then next Monday we're going to work on recession, okay?
Thank you.
We're going to call
you.
It the great news about recession, okay?
Thank you.
All right,
bye.
Love you guys. Have a great week. Bye.
The moderator has just